Good afternoon. I am Chad Holmes. Welcome back to another edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at WXCOF, online at bullfallsradio.com and mobile devices by searching WXCO. And also don't forget Alexa, search WXCO. It's a bit of an unusual Friday because actually, as you hear my voice, I am on a bus. As tonight, the Wausau West High School football team is heading to Kingsford, Michigan to take on the Flivers in a game that we will have here on Bull Falls Radio, part of a doubleheader tonight. But that means I'm on the bus. It's like a three-hour drive, and this is a pre-recorded program as I earlier today sat here in front of our board at Bull Falls Radio. So again, it's a very unusual time because usually I have no problem getting to a game for a 7 o'clock kickoff after my show at 4 o'clock. So again, just a little bit of a different Friday show here as we wrap up our first week. We're going to bring back a couple of interviews later on in the program from earlier in the week. We'll have my discussion with the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg, coming up in just a few minutes. And we'll also again talk to Hispanic advocate Tony Gonzalez, a repeat of our interview from a couple of days ago as well. So again, that's coming up today on this a little bit of a different episode of the Chad Holmes Show. Coming up on Monday, we'll be back live right here in the studio from 2 to 4. Good show. We'll be talking to Newman Catholic High School Principal Carl Fetch. Going to talk about some of the issues in Catholic education, private education. We talked a little bit about public education as well. So going to try to get the principals from some of our area schools in to get a feel what's going on in these schools. And on Monday will be Carl Fetch from Newman Catholic High School at 2:15. And also on Monday, very excited because if you're a history buff like myself, the name La Follette means so much in the state of Wisconsin. You go back to Fighting Bob La Follette, 125 years ago or so, a governor, a senator. He was a presidential candidate as well. And we're going to talk to Doug La Follette, the Secretary of State of Wisconsin, looking for another term in November. So again, Douglas La Follette, he'll be a guest on Monday at 3:15. So again, a lot of exciting stuff next week. We have some terrific guests lined up as we start to roll, really start to roll here with the local news talk here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. To start things off, just a couple things on my mind. Driving into work today, I was thinking about campaign 2022 because last night I got home and I'm just flipping around a little bit watching TV. And we're getting to that point. We're seeing a lot of these television ads either targeting candidates or trying to respond to ads. And I actually was seeing a lot of Mandela Barnes last night, whether it was Mandela in his kitchen saying, hey, you can tell they're really scared because of some of the things they're saying about him. About, you know, they're really trying to throw a lot at the wall right now in terms of the lieutenant governor. I thought it was a very effective ad. But you see these commercials that come after him, and it's just, I just wonder, again, as how effective are some of these negative ads? And, of course, we hear about it all the time. Yes, negative advertising works, but, boy, Mandela Barnes does not come across. You see, I had a chance to meet Mandela Barnes last year at the Wausau Labor Day Parade. He was here in Wausau not this past week, but last year. What a very engaging guy. I mean, when you talk to him, it was not uncomfortable at all. He's just a very, you know, he's able to talk one-on-one. He's able to talk to, I think, the bigger groups. Really, I thought just a really nice guy, and I really appreciated that a few minutes I was able to talk to him. But if you watch some of the spots, and it's usually not the spots from the candidate, in this case, Ron Johnson himself. So many of these spots come from those third-party groups, and it's something that we talked on, touched on briefly earlier in the week, that ever since Citizens United basically opened things up to unlimited spending in these campaigns, we are seeing so many of these groups bankrolled by some very, very wealthy people, and they're just basically attack ads, and I saw a lot of attack ads targeting Senator Barnes. And I will say, to be fair, I saw some attack ads from third-party groups as well attacking Senator Johnson. But I just wonder how much those spots do really get into the bloodstream of the electorate. At some point in every cycle, seeing some of these over-the-top attack ads, I mean, do they lose a little of their effectiveness? I don't know. I really don't know at this point. And unfortunately, I think nothing's going to change. And as we talked to a caller earlier in the week mentioning about money in politics and the corrupt way that that occurs, and I mentioned to her that little bit of a dirty little secret here is every one of the media companies loves it. Because when you get to the midterms, when you get to the general election, the incredible amount of money that goes to the major broadcasters in this country due to the current rules, they don't want to lose that money. That's where they basically make their gravy. And again, Citizens United has been such a detriment to good government and good elections and good citizens. I just think that citizens get poisoned by seeing all this. But with all this money, it's going to be very hard-pressed to ever see it go away. So again, I'm curious. We are just getting underway. Labor Day usually is the unofficial start of the general election campaign. It doesn't feel like it's got into full swing yet outside of the commercials. I'll be very curious to see as we get into later September, October, start to see some of these joint appearances and debates with the major candidates, whether the heat continues to rise both in the gubernatorial race and the Senate race. Coming up, again, we're going to go back to early in the week and hear my conversation with the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg, coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And it is the Chad Holmes Show. I am the aforementioned Chad Holmes here on this Friday, wrapping up the first week of the program. And we've had an opportunity this week to talk to some really terrific folks, including on Tuesday, we had Bob Look, who is the state Senate candidate, trying to win his election against the Republican Corey Tomchek. It is an open seat, as Jerry Petruski, the longtime state senator, before that state representative, is retiring at the end of the current term. Had a chance to talk to Bob about some of the issues in his election. Then on Wednesday, again, we have some terrific guests, Tony Gonzalez. We're going to hear from my parts of my conversation with Tony Gonzalez coming up in the next hour here on Bow Falls Radio. Also, we had a chance to talk to Randy Ratke from the Marathon County Central Labor Council. And again, earlier this week, it was always a great fun event. I've been doing it for about a decade or so, to be the announcer of the Wausau Labor Day Parade, and it was a beautiful day. And you get a chance to see marching bands. You get to see so many terrific floats. You get to see people getting honored. They have a Citizen of the Year, got a Business of the Year, and really good stuff. And always so happy to be part of it. And Randy Racky's been a terrific friend, and had a chance to talk about some labor issues with him on Wednesday. Yesterday, of course, we had a couple of more terrific guests as well. We were able to talk to Kristen Conway, who is running for the state assembly, trying to unseat the Republican incumbent, Pat Snyder. Pat Snyder, former co-worker of mine. So, again, it's like sometimes we get to stay behind the microphone, and Pat had a very successful run as a radio announcer and then has moved into politics. And that's something that we see quite a bit of in terms of politics. Pat Kreitlow, who we have here on Bow Falls Radio each and every weekday morning from 8 to 11, a former WEAU television newscaster, then went into state government, ran for the United States Congress, unfortunately fell to Sean Duffy about a decade ago. So, again, very interesting in terms of the broadcasters that go into politics, and you go back to actors and Ronald Reagan going into it. And I mean, I it's a whole different subject matter in terms of whether or not it's good or bad that people that are performers get into politics. But that's something we can talk about at another time. But also early in the week, in fact, our first show, we had a chance to talk to the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg, about what's going on in the city, about you know, her life as mayor of Wausau. And since I'm on the bus heading up to Kingsford today, I'm going to bring back Katie Rosenberg in terms of what we talked about on Tuesday. Started off by talking a little bit about the beginnings. When did she think about actually going into the mayor's office and other topics? Here was my talk with Katie Rosenberg. When was the first time it crossed your mind in a serious way that you wanted to be mayor of Wausau?
Ooh, gosh. You know, when I was running for my second term for county board, I started thinking about, you know, like, what do I want to do with myself? You know, I had a really great job at Foot Locker. I loved it. I really found my work on county board meaningful. But, you know, you start to spend a lot more time on these very part-time jobs. Mm-hmm. And even my husband was like, you know, maybe you should think about, you know, I'm not encouraging you to get out there more and do more politics. I think it's annoying, but, you know, maybe you should consider something more full-time. And so, you know, you start thinking about, well, what even jobs are there full-time? Do I want to be a staffer? Do I want to work for somebody? Do I want to be that person? So, yeah, I would say 2018.
When you went through the campaign and then you won the election a couple of years ago. Obviously, you go into a new job, no matter what job it is, whether it's the mayor of Wausau, whether it's a new job in radio or whatever it may be. Well, you're thinking, these are the things I would like to accomplish. These are probably the issues I'm going to have to deal with.
Yeah.
On the night you won the election, in terms of the issues you thought you were going to deal with compared to the issues that you are dealing with, how similar or different were they?
We're far apart from where I thought I would be. You know, I talked a lot about strategy. I talked a lot about talking through management and how do we, like, reconfigure things. You know, like, I'm really into, like, process improvement and stuff like that. And so that's where I kind of thought I was going, and we had opportunities there. But, of course, you know, COVID, it changed everything. And I would say that first year was really tough. Just not knowing, feeling like maybe you were contributing to some of the, you know, sickness by not acting fast enough or, you know, democracy being a really hard way to issue edicts about health, you know, public health especially. So, you know, being protested a lot, getting a lot of people mad, figuring out new ways for people to vote and then having that, you know, turned down from the Supreme Court. So, yeah, I would say... Oh, my gosh, the beginning of this year with PFAS, like, I wasn't expecting that. So, you know, there's a lot, I have a lot of advice for the next mayor. Tell you what to look out for, or any mayor.
Again, we're talking to Katie Rosenberg, the mayor of Wausau, here on the program. I'll call it the program for now. first day here, and glad you could join us. What made you think you were ready to be the mayor? Because you said it, you're, you know, a young woman who does have political experience. It's basically part one of a two-part question. But what made you feel like when you looked at the city and you looked at government and what you knew, why did you feel like that was the time that it was time to make that move?
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of people that I kind of look up to, and they're pretty inspiring. So people like Katrina Shankland, right? Like she's in the assembly. She started her career there pretty young, and she's great. She gets a lot of work done, and part of it is that she's just tireless. And I was like, okay, I got the energy now. Like I can do it now. I know I'm not going to be able to, you know, I won't need extra naps or anything.
Right.
So I guess there's part of that, and. And honestly, you know, there's a lot of, now that I'm in the job and talking to other women mayors, you know, there's a lot of discussion about imposter syndrome and all of these things. And, you know, it's not that I don't deal with that, but it's that it can't be what I'm thinking about. Like, no matter who's in this job, you just got to look at your problem and try to solve it, right? So I don't know if anyone's ever ready for a job like this, ever.
Right.
But we got to do it. Somebody's got to do it.
One of the interesting things that you said in your City Pages article, I was taking a look at it, and you talked about being around it and then being in it.
Yeah.
And that you were around it. I mean, you were very much part of the community. You knew what was happening with the city of Wausau, the Marathon County as well. And it made me think about, you know, you see in the campaign for governor, you see Tim Michaels running as, hey, I'm an outsider. I'm going to come in there and shake things up and, you know, fire those prosecutors that aren't doing what I want to do.
Right.
You saw it with Trump a few years ago. I found it interesting that, you know, you talk about even being around it, it's so much different once you get in there. What do people don't understand about maybe that the outsiders who think, hey, I run a business, I can go in there and make things happen.
Right.
What did you find out when you got into it that maybe you didn't know even just being around it?
Yeah, I think probably, you know, I've been advocating for various things, especially on the county board. You know, North Central Healthcare was a thing that, you know, I was really pushing for. And then when you get in, you see the nuances that you have to, like, pull apart. And, oh, my gosh, there's issues, there's funding, there's this. And so I think when it comes to city issues, same thing. You know, you come in and you think that you'll be able to be that difference in, you know, pushing an issue forward. And you are. Like, mm-hmm. I get to be a thought leader. It's amazing. But I also really have to work hard with the city council, because this is democracy. This isn't a dictatorship. You know, I don't really have broad powers when it comes to issuing, you know, executive orders and
no
things
fiats,
like that.
Huh?
Yeah, no, I can't do it. So, you know, I think probably I expected a little bit more ability to, you know, like, this is what we're doing. And I can do that a lot with, you know, administrative type stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of, you know, advocacy I have to do when working with the council and not blowing up my relationships with them.
Mm-hmm.
I have found that that's easy to do sometimes. And you have to be humble, too.
It's interesting as well. Again, we're talking to Mayor Katie Rosenberg of Wausau. I've been a political junkie my whole life as well. I mean, I just I was following it back in the elections in the 80s. You know, I remember the 1980 election. That's how old I am, you know, going back that far. It feels like now for any politician, I don't care who you are, it's harder to be popular in a sense. It feels like there is such a divide that going into it, you know that 50% of the people are not going to like you from the very beginning. And then there are even a few people that are on your side. You may not go far enough for their taste,
right,
or you go too far for their taste. So then that's peeled off. Because I look at, like, the president's approval ratings.
Yeah.
I feel like he's done a lot of really good things.
Oh, yeah.
And yet people talk about how unpopular he is.
Mm-hmm.
But it just feels like for any politician, I know that there are people that really love you. I mean, they think you're doing a great job, but obviously
that's my mom.
But there are obviously people that are not, you know, liking what you do as well. Do you find it is it harder to be broad based? I mean, even going back, I remember when Tommy Thompson was running for governor, he got 65% of the vote.
Oh yeah,
it doesn't feel like you can do that anymore.
Where we are anymore, you know, people are very into their, you know, labels of themselves. Like, I stand for X, and a lot of that in politics, right, comes from the party. So, you know, I mean, I find myself disagreeing with some in the party too,
right?
And it's hard, and I think when it comes to especially a job like mine where it's nonpartisan, it's a city, like, there's not really a progressive way to fill a pothole versus a conservative way to fill a pothole. But, you know, you're still going to get hammered on by all of those people. So, yeah, it is harder to be popular, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's where it comes down to you knowing what your core values are. And you know what? People can criticize me all they want, but I'm going to only do what I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, I have to sleep too.
You talked about the relationships, whether it's with the city council, whether it's with probably business leaders and leaders of local communities.
Mm-hmm.
What's your philosophy in terms of working with others? Because I think over the last number of years that we've seen so many examples, I think, you know, going to Washington during the Trump years, where nobody seemed to want to work with anybody, but you have to at the local level, don't you? And how do you go about it? What's your philosophy in dealing with others, especially those that you may have some friction with?
Right. Yeah. So I think part of this is, you know, back, I'm kind of the old-timey Dave Obie kind of progressive, right? So, and one of the things he always did was he would invite people from the other side of the aisle to have lunch with him at the Democratic Club or wherever, you know, maybe it was the Monocle or something. But, you know, he would sit down with them and they would talk. And he had very good relationships. He and Congressman Petri had great discussions, and they're still talking to each other in their retirement age. So I think you don't want to immediately slam the door on people, right? I want to assume positive intent. You know, there are things that I find myself agreeing with very conservative people, and we can work on those issues. And I guess another person that I kind of have learned from, and, you know, to a fault, I would say this person, John Robinson, you know, we all know and love him, but he will methodically just kind of keep at the issue and remembering the next vote and not let you get off track and blow everything up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could say everything is terrible with this person, but really, there are ways to work together, and he's a testament to it, too.
Do you ever blow up?
Do I blow up?
Blow up. I mean, in terms of where you get frustrated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who doesn't get frustrated?
But do you do it in front of other people? are you disciplined in that way that you're able to?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who are the people that have seen me blow up. probably my dad. He knows very well. You know, they were when I first started. You know, after every council meeting, I would just have to call him and be like, "What is this? What happened? Why? You know, all of these things." And you know, my husband, of course.
of course.
But you know, I try really hard to just maintain kind of an equilibrium because otherwise it's hard on yourself too. Like it is hard on your body physically and mentally, and you have to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. So I try to assume positive intent and things that make me crazy. Maybe I'll write it down and come back to it later.
Well, I've asked you about some general questions. We got to take a quick break, but we're going to come back and talk about a few of these issues that maybe you thought about before becoming mayor, but have come on to the forefront now that you are the mayor. So we got to take a quick break. We'll come back with more with Mayor Katie Rosenberg here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com and by mobile device. And welcome back here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa. And again, check out bullfallsradio.com. Go to our website. Go to the podcast page. We will have a podcast page for our show. So if you miss any of our segments, you can go back and tune in. And we have one more segment here with Mayor Katie Rosenberg of Wausau. Let's talk about some issues. And you mentioned it.
Let's dig in.
Let's start off with water because that's been the one that's 100%. Been such a big focus for you. I think we can call you Captain Clean Water. Because
oh,
that's,
my gosh.
I know that's your biggest goal. Let's go to the. When did you first learn of the issue? How did you learn of the issue? Was there anything before that point that you say, "Boy, I wish you know somebody should have told me this earlier"?
Oh, yeah.
What was the beginning of this?
Yeah. So interestingly, you know, I formed a friendship with the mayor Brian Lander and the mayor of Stevens Point, but we kind of all got together and we were talking about the issues that kind of we all have together, and Wisconsin River is what kind of connects us all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about PFAS in that meeting, and that was really my first introduction to it. You know, we talked to somebody who's a former mayor and who also works for the Department of Revenue, and we talked about PFAS and how do we address this stuff. And at that point, it was largely hypothetical for me. So in January of this year, we got a notice from the DNR, and they asked, would you like to test for PFAS? Because, you know, your neighbor, Rib Mountain, had a hot well, and we'd like to see how, you know, how this problem is around your community.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, I see that, and I was like, absolutely, we're testing. It's better to know all of these things. And what I wasn't expecting was that every single well would have elevated levels, that we wouldn't have really any answer. You know, I saw Eau Claire, they had to shut down half of their wells. And I remember thinking, wow, that must be really tough for them. And
mm-hmm.
now with us, it's every well. So really tough to work through. Also, it's tough when you have these dueling policy bodies of the Natural Resources Board. You have the EPA, you have Department of Health Services, you have all these different inputs of like what's safe, what should be allowable. Politicians are now making mm-hmm. decisions. So like that was really hard. That part, like not understanding what do PFAS do to you and how do you address this? So yes, our answer was we got to get it out of the water, and we got to do it equitably, right? We don't want only some people to have access to clean water. So that's our goal in October. So we're a month away here.
Right.
We're expecting our new plant to go online. And actually, like that's required with some of the permitting that we have. So
mm-hmm.
I'm really excited. They've been doing some testing already,
mm-hmm.
And we should be down well below that for 20 parts per trillion. But you know, in the meantime, the EPA came out with parts per quadrillion, which is so hard for my brain to even comprehend. So the goal is to get to non-detect just because we see that's the direction.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we'll have this granular activated carbon. Again, like I know way too much about this stuff now.
Right.
Dangerous. But we'll have this new granular activated carbon system. It should go online fully in the beginning of 24.
Mm-hmm.
And that will take out not just the PFAS, but any other of those emerging contaminants. So we're really future-proofing that plant. I wish we would have been able to plan for that ahead of time.
Right.
$16 million surprise. But, you know, we're doing it now.
And the goal is to have actually perhaps the cleanest water anywhere.
Yeah, we might as well just have the best water in the nation. And frankly, you know, I think that's what residents are expecting now. You know, we're hearing a lot about people, climate refugees, things like that,
mm-hmm.
how water is really one of those resources that people will travel to live around.
Right.
So Wisconsin, we're lucky. We got great access.
Going back to what you were saying about the other entities that you have to deal
with.
as a citizen, I'm just sitting on this side of, as a citizen, that's frustrating to me. Because this seems like, again, in an era that is so polarized, you would think that there would be one issue that you could come together on is when a city like Wausau finds an issue with their water.
Let's fix it.
Let's fix it. What does that say? I mean, in the big picture, what does that say?
Yeah, it's troublesome, right? And it shows you just how deeply politics has infiltrated literally everything. And we recognize that, you know, governors have the ability to appoint people, and they appoint people that maybe fit their political persuasion. But, you know, there's some gamesmanship happening, especially with that Department of Natural Resources board. And I think that's a challenge because water is essential. So we shouldn't be sitting here using it as a political football. We should, we all of Wisconsin, we deserve the best water. Mm-hmm. And we need the Department of Natural Resources to be able to and empowered to help us get there.
Another issue that you had a nice thread on Twitter about unhoused. I mean, with the water, with this issue again, I just find it refreshing to have a discussion that you're listening to people on every side of these issues. What is the unhoused issue right now? Because this is going to piggyback into a couple of other things I want to talk about, because I think this leads to mental health as well.
Oh, yeah.
And but I just thought it was a nice thread. Could you talk about what your thinking is right now with how big of an issue is it here in Wausau, and what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, so, you know, I've heard from a lot of the downtown folks, you know, over the last 2 years, you know, they're frustrated with what's happening. You know, there are people who are unhoused, and they are trying to take refuge anywhere they can. So is that a parking ramp? Is that a park? You know, again, you mentioned that there's a lot of mental health issues and addiction kind of interrelated. It's complex. And so, you know, we've been working on it as a city council, but I don't think we have come up with anything particularly transformational yet. We're trying to get a 365 shelter so that we at least have a place to send people. Mm-hmm. If we don't want them sleeping in a park, well, where can they sleep? It's not that they can disappear, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this weekend, you know, I got a lot of complaints about a particular encampment in a neighborhood that's really not known for this. So earlier this week, I just went down to find that encampment, and I talked to the two people that were living there, and I asked, you know, what's going on here? And it was really interesting because they said that, you know, she was evicted from her house or her apartment, and she didn't really have anywhere else to go. This was a year ago. And, you know, she gets Social Security, she gets various things. But just, like, connecting those dots and keeping up with it and being able to access the care that she needs. You know, she talked about appreciating an Alcoholics Anonymous group that she was a part of. But they closed during COVID. So I'm like, okay, how do we get you to someplace that also you can also, again, like, trying to figure out, like, what do you need? So it's really fortuitous for us. Today, our homeless outreach specialist starts, and she's amazing. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Tracy. Mm-hmm. So she's going to help us connect the dots for people like this woman that I talked to, and many others. In our last point in time count, we found 30 individuals who were unhoused, but we know that's not the scope necessarily.
Right.
Everybody knows. This is a HUD-required thing. They know when we're counting.
Mm-hmm.
So people are hiding. People are in their cars. People are, you know, on couches.
Mm-hmm.
The school district at one point talked about over 300 students who were couch surfing.
Right.
So, like, again, these are problems that maybe aren't apparent because you're not seeing it in front of you downtown, but it's everywhere. So really wrapping our arms around it and trying to put our resources to help people lift themselves up and get the help they need and also provide for their families.
Again, we're talking to Mayor Katie Rosenberg here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Along that same line, mental health, because we see the story with the Community Corner Clubhouse, and I know that's a county funding issue, but anything that happens within that community does affect you and what you do with the city of Wausau. And we saw the tragedy with AOW's Nina Pahokey this weekend, a mental health issue, obviously. It feels like that's such a big issue right now. And I know that any decision that's made, whether it's at the federal, state, county, local level, does affect the city.
Oh, yeah.
What's your take on what we can do to try to help as many people as possible.
Right. Yeah. So it's interesting when you talk about people from different political persuasions working together. I would say this Community Corner Clubhouse is a perfect example of that. You know, I went to the listening session that Supervisor Ron Cavelli organized. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's known as maybe more conservative. But, you know, we all kind of got together and we listened. There were about 60 people there. People were sharing their stories. There were tears. And I think people got a really good idea of what Clubhouse does for people and how it has changed their ability to find purpose in this world. So I think it's now is not the time to take our foot off the gas pedal when it comes to mental health. We need to keep funding those programs. And I know it's tough. I know it's tough for the county. It's tough for all of us, right? But, you know, there's opportunity to maybe have a pilot, maybe talk through ARPA funding for a little bit of this to get them through this hump and make sure that we're working to fund it in a different, sustainable manner. So, yeah. A lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we all understand that when you look at the county health board mm-hmm. and their budgeting, and there's decisions yeah. have to be made. But boy, it feels like this is one that would cost a lot more in the long run than whatever you would be putting in.
Yeah, it's tough, you know. And when we were talking about homelessness, for instance, you know, I've spent a lot of time getting to know Roberto from Catholic Charities, who runs the warming center. The warming centers across the state, and one of the things he said was, you know, when there's somebody unhoused, you know, that costs a municipality, all the levels of government, between $70,000 and $200,000 a year, okay? Mm-hmm. And that is because of the interaction with the system. So if you're able to take away that interaction with the system because they're given stable place to live, you know, meaningful way to spend their time, maybe it's a job, maybe it's gathering community corn and compost, that really, it does reduce costs. The problem, of course, is that it's hard to calculate stuff that doesn't happen. Right. And that's probably what they're going through with North Central, I'm assuming. You know, they're talking about cuts of millions of dollars, and it's really hard. I don't envy that.
Hmm. Let's turn to the strategic plan, which you were so big into when you ran for it.
How nerdy is that?
I know, but then it's like all these other issues come up, but I know that you still feel it's vitally important. Number one, why is it still vitally important? Number two, where do you stand with it?
Yeah, so we, I'm going to start with that second part first.
Sure.
We just gave an overview of the strategic plan to the city council, and they were able to give some feedback, talk about what they wanted to see, if there was anything missing. So we're almost there. We almost have it done. We'll be asking them to vote on it in a month or two. And why is it important? You know, I think, you know, when you are on a governing body with, and the city council is 11 people, 12 including me, mm-hmm. or you have the county board who's 38 people,
right.
like you need to be rowing in the same direction if you want to get anything done. So identifying those priorities that we all care about and can just kind of throw our weight behind and get things done, I think that's what's really important here. And we were able to identify these issues from the community members, from our council members, from all different political persuasions, and all of this was stuff that we could all agree on. So I think that's what's important. And, you know, when we talk about bringing a new program forward, I think we can say, how does this help us make Wausau, you know, a home and make everyone feel like they belong here? Mm-hmm. How does this help us get there? And being able to frame it in that way, it really, you know, if it's not going to help us do that, well, then maybe we should rethink that.
Mm-hmm. I almost hate to ask this question because timing is always so, it flows and it just, you know, things happen. Do you have any ideas on the time frame to continue this process? Do you have
the strategic plan?
Yeah. Do you have hopes that, hey, this is where the finish line might be?
Oh, yeah. I'm guessing in the next month or two.
Oh, really?
I already have an updated draft, and we just need the council to approve it. You know, it probably makes sense to talk about it alongside the budget so we can say, all right, here is where these budget priorities fit in with our strategic priorities. So,
budget. Another interesting thing you talked about in the City Pages article, I thought, was, you know, you ran on the debt.
Oh, yeah.
And you found, hey, sometimes it's not easy, is it?
Well, yeah.
What did you find out? And what you're thinking now where we stand?
Yeah. So, you know, when you're running for an office, it's always kind of a challenge to be that outside person. Mm-hmm. And like the data you have is, you know, how it's reported on, the public documents, the meetings that you watch. Right. And so I have a lot of good ideas. And then when you get in and you're starting to ask, like, why can't we do this? Oh, it's illegal. Okay, I guess we're not going to, you know, like various ways to like move things around. And then also when we're talking about debt, you know, we're often talking about debt over 20 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, moving the needle on that is going to be a process that will outlive me, right? Right. We're already getting there. You know, it's tough, though, because there are new projects that we need to work on and that need to happen. Mm-hmm. So do we close this TIF district early and then start to talk about this other TIF district, right? So mm-hmm. there's a lot going on there. And, you know, there's some nuance there that had I been in the seat before, I probably would have maybe been less forceful. But, you know, it's good to kind of identify that ideal sure. and then start to work towards it. It's like a strategic plan, right? You want to decide how you approach these things.
There's nothing wrong with somebody saying, hey, I learned more information. Is that right?
I mean, completely.
We don't
really
hear that enough, frankly.
I think it's really hard for us to say that, like, oh, maybe I didn't have that quite right. And you know what? I totally don't have everything quite right. I'm going to keep working at it.
I agree 100% with myself. WASA Mayor Katie Rosenberg, again, she was our first guest on Tuesday here on the Chad Holmes Show. Again, we're bringing back a couple of interviews today along with some other segments as I'm on the bus heading to Kingsford, Michigan with the WASA West football team tonight, a long road trip. This will not happen very often at all, if ever again, where the high school sports coverage kind of collides with our Chad Holmes Show here 2 to 4 p.m. Again, first week of the program. Glad you could join us. And we will have more coming up. Got a few thoughts coming up next here on Bow Falls Radio WXCO. And welcome back. Friday edition of the Chad Holmes Show. Again, a bit of a different show today because I'm on a bus. I'm heading up to the UP of Michigan with the WASA West High School football team today. And coming up later on, we will have the WASA West Warriors in action against Kingsford, one of the more interesting nicknames that I've ever come across, the Flivers. So, again, this is a very unusual occurrence where one of my high school sports broadcasts affecting our afternoon talk show. So again, appreciate you being with us here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Also online at bowfallsradio.com and mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Well, let's talk a little sports because I like in this segment as we final segment of hour number one heading to CBS News at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock. As I said, it is a busy, busy weekend today and tomorrow of high school football here on Bow Falls Radio. In fact, it's an early start coming up at 4:30 today. The Marathon Red Raiders, 2-1 on the season, 1-0 in conference, take on the Assumption Royals. Tom Weaver will be at Southwood County 2000 Field for that one. 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock for the opening kickoff. Because the reason they're playing so early in Wisconsin Rapids is because that field hosts both Assumption and Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln, and Lincoln hosting Stevens Point later tonight. So if you're a football fan in Wisconsin Rapids, you got a full plate of action with a doubleheader at Southwood County Marathon against Assumption, and then Rapids takes on Stevens Point. But again, Tom Weaver with the call, Red Raiders and the Assumption Royals, 4:30 airtime, live right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, and mobile devices by searching WXCO. As I said, I will be taking the long trek up north to Kingsford, Michigan to see the West Warriors. WASA West, 3-0 on the season. They actually were supposed to be playing WASA East tonight. In the original schedule, it would be the battle for the WASA log, one of the great events so many years. I'm just, you know, it really hurts not to have that log game again this season. Hopefully, WASA East is on the right track to rebuilding their high school football program. I know the plan is for them to try and get back into action next year, but right now just playing a JV schedule, trying to give some of those younger players some experience. But so the WASA log game not occurring. So, WASA West looking for a replacement game, and instead of me being able to drive 3 minutes to Tom Field to broadcast the game on the bus, traveling about 3 hours to broadcast tonight, Kingsford, Michigan, WASA West, the game can be heard live online at bowfallsradio.com and the Sports Stream 2. So, again, you go to bowfallsradio.com, click on Sports Stream 2, and you can hear WASA West at Kingsford on the air with the pregame show at 5:40 and the opening kickoff at 6 p.m. And also that game between West and Kingsford will be broadcast on a delay basis here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 to 1230 after the marathon broadcast completes, so sometime around 7:30 tonight. And then after I return from Kingsford tonight, I'll be back tomorrow. We will have Newman Catholic football. Boy, big one. Great matchup
in eight-player football. The Newman Cardinals, the defending state champs, the number one ranked team in the state in this week's WIS Sports Rankings. They take on the number four ranked team in the state, Wabino Leona. Wabino Leona was a state semifinalist a year ago, almost made it to the state championship game in Rapids, where they would have faced off with Newman Catholic. But tomorrow, number one Newman against number four ranked Wabino Leona. On the air with pregame show at 12:40 p.m. and the opening kickoff at 1, right here on your home for Newman Catholic, Wausau West, and Marathon High School football, Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 12:30. Also, big weekend, of course, NFL, Buffalo Bills last night. I saw some of the game last night, and they were impressive, beating the Super Bowl champs, the L.A. Rams, in Los Angeles. So Buffalo looking to be an early threat in the AFC. And of course, the Green Bay Packers back in action. The kickoff of the 2022 season for the Green and Gold. They've been knocking on the door the last few years. Great regular seasons, winning 13 games each of the last 3 years under Matt LaFleur. Have not been able to get the job done in the postseason. And the frustrating aspect the last 2 years, of course, for the Packers, not winning at Lambeau Field in the playoffs in January. That's supposed to be when they're great, but 2 years ago, of course, fell to Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship game. Last year, frustrating finish in a loss to San Francisco. So the Packers looking not only to do well in the regular season, but to get through that big door, plow their way to the Super Bowl this year. And they start off with that longtime rival, the Minnesota Vikings, late game on Sunday over at Minneapolis. I think it's a 3:25 kickoff for the Packers and the Vikings. It's always interesting to see if Aaron Rodgers continues to play at the high level he has. I mean, he's been, it's hard to believe how long he's been around, but he's been performing exceptionally well on the field, even if there's some controversies off the field the last couple of years. So Packers and the Vikes coming up on Sunday. And also the Milwaukee Brewers trying to work their way back into the race in the National League for the wild card. The Brewers did get a little something done yesterday. They finally were able to get back home to American Family Field and be able to get back on the winning track. They played a doubleheader, a rare doubleheader. And I was trying to figure out, why are they playing a doubleheader yesterday? But then I remembered there was a short-lived lockout in spring training. So the Major League Baseball season actually started a little bit later than normal. And so they have to make up the first week of the season. And they do that by using scheduled off days. So they made up two games against San Francisco, and the Brewers won by scores of 2-1 and 4-2. So Milwaukee is now 73-65. They are eight games behind St. Louis in the NL Central. It's going to be very difficult catching the Cardinals. But the Brewers are still trying to chase down either Philadelphia or San Diego. San Diego 76-62. So the Brewers right now three games behind the Padres. And also the Phillies are 75-62, so Milwaukee is 2.5 games behind Philadelphia. So the Brewers have to catch either Philadelphia or San Diego for that number three wild card and try to get into the postseason playoffs. And time is running out. I mean, it is already September the 9th. As incredible as it may seem to be talking about that. So, again, a lot going on in the world of sports. Busy weekend sports-wise. Badgers in action coming up tomorrow as well, as they take on Washington State at Camp Randall Stadium. So that's a little bit of a look at sports. Coming up, 3 o'clock, CBS News at the top of the hour. And then coming up after 3 o'clock, we'll have a whole lot more coming up here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 12:30.